of a $112 million Orthodox spiritual and cultural center that includes a school. The Russian president was a champion of building a new Russian church in Paris. It was started in 2008. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Did you party Friday and Saturday night? Make Sunday your recovery day at Wind River Resort and Casinos Hotel. Recover poolside at our hotel every other Sunday, starting Sunday, June 4th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. $2 cover charge, free for all hotel guests. Sunday is your day to relax and recover at Wind River Resort and Casino. Round out the weekend with poolside DJ entertainment, food and drink specials, prize drawings, and giveaways. Recovery Sundays at Wind River Resort and Casino. For details, log on to windriver.com. Poolside. Recovery Sundays. It's better at the river. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino's Overtime Lounge as we make your Wednesdays more entertaining with Comedy Night. Enjoy a comical knee-slapping good time with live comedians every Wednesday. Show starts at 8. What would be great after a long day at the office? Drinks, laughs, hoots and giggles with friends, and a live comedy show every Wednesday night. Enjoy the humor with different comedians every week. No cover charge. For all the details, log on to windriver.com. Must be 21 to attend this hilarious event. Comedy is better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome to Radio Wasteland. Tonight we have an episode that maybe pertains to absolutely everybody. Whether you know it or not, our topic tonight is Prepping 101. People might know it better as Doomsday Prepping, but you know, that title does not necessarily match all prepping situations. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, with my trusty sidekick, Sean.
Hello.
And our guest tonight is Solar Steve, to help us understand a little bit more about prepping. Say hello, Steve.
Hello.
And, you know, so this kind of seemed like a topic that sort of fits. I'm a big science fiction fan, and, you know, I watch lots of science fiction, and a big fan of dystopian future in general. And it seems like, you know, a regular topic in science fiction is like, you know, the collapse of society due to race war and due to civil war and stuff like that, and due to religious war. And it seems like, you know, that's starting to creep its way back towards us again, you know, with today being Memorial Day and all the recent terrorist attacks. You know, it seems like a topic we should probably touch down on a bit. You know, the idea, you know, I think people are getting a little crazy, and I think that this probably doesn't match a lot of people's opinions, but I'll throw mine out there for fodder. You know, I think people are getting a little ahead of themselves about stopping things and saying, why don't the police or the government do that and the other thing? And that we need to remember that the police's job and so on and so forth is to punish after a crime happens and not before a crime happens. That I really couldn't care less what somebody's personal beliefs are. It's just if you're going to live in this country, you're not allowed to kill people. And, you know, you got to go down if you kill people. But I think that we're getting a little too on top of situations. I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I think that there is a number of things that are going on globally and within the country that do deserve attention. Certainly, your piece about law enforcement reacting after a crime, that's been proven in courts a number of times. And so, you know, a person has to come to the conclusion that it is them that has to provide for their own safety and welfare. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it is not the government's job to do it. And if you think that it is, I think when a crisis occurs, you're going to find yourself hungry and scared. In fact, you might even be deemed the problem because you're hungry and scared. So at the end of the day, a person really has to sit down and think about it and say, you know, what would happen to us, myself, my family, my friends, you know, close friends, family, what have you, if this happened? And this could be whatever you want it to be. It could be anything. It could be flooding. It could be any gambit of natural disaster. Mm-hmm. It could, which no one has any control over. It just happens. Like Cascadia subduction zone, for example, and the big, event that they say is coming. It could be a global financial collapse where, even the people that think that they're doing well, they've got 401ks, they've got money in the bank, and they've got pensions and what have you. All of a sudden, there's no money. They have nothing. The banks are closed. They have no cash. And even cash, after a while, if it persists for too long, is going to become rather worthless. So you have that. You have electromagnetic pulse threat. They say North Korea has two satellites up in the sky and orbiting a number of times a day at the optimal altitude of 300 miles. The idea of collapsing the power grid, I think Congress and the book One Second After by William Forstchen, I believe is his name, they predict that after an EMP or an electromagnetic pulse, however you collapse the power grid, 90% of the population is dead
within
1 year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For a variety of reasons that are all accessory to that lack of electricity.
Disease, starvation, and probably your neighbor.
It could be disease. It could be famine. It could be trauma-based death, like gunshot wounds from combat. It could be, you name it. It could be people that aren't getting adequate medical care.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of cities would just kind of their infrastructure that keeps them being cities and not piles of sludge in the ground would tend to collapse pretty quickly after.
Yeah, smaller, I guess the first thing I was going to say has kind of a – I got to word this in a way that doesn't sound too offensive. I had read that after World War I, the collapse in Germany left their economy so devastated that one in three – I want to say the statistic was one in three women had – committed prostitution to take care of their families.
That is correct, yes.
And so I bring that up as an example of all of us sitting here and listening here and saying all the things that we wouldn't do and these things will never happen and I would never do that. For statistically, that number of people, because those people were saying the exact same thing.
Correct.
They were saying, oh, I would never do this. But then the situation arises, and here they are.
Yeah, I'd be hunting man for sport within minutes.
Right.
I'm sure.
It's the most dangerous game. Yeah.
Well, that is exactly what is forecasted to happen. 72 hours after a major incident, regardless of what it ultimately is, you're looking at straight anarchy.
Yeah.
You look at our just-in-time delivery systems in the grocery store. They really only have enough product for 3 days.
And just to clarify, what I said there was not to put it on women. It is solely to put it on men and illustrate exactly what we would do.
The desperation level will be profound. And the thing is, too, is that we are generationally now removed from those incidents to where the living memory of that, people that have lived through that, is we're losing those people.
Absolutely.
Every day.
Hey, you're listening to Radio Wasteland with Solar Steve. We're talking about prepping 101. Stick around.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world to its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Feed it up an ox, beat grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High fire and a fire representing seven games in the government for hire. Look at that, no plane, fine, dead. Uh-oh, overflow, population, common food,
This is Carl in the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now, they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Powerhouse Solar has been putting the sun to work for you since 2003. And now, Powerhouse Solar has been named a SunPower Elite Dealer. That means Powerhouse Solar has joined a network of more than 1,800 solar companies worldwide that sell, install, and service SunPower products. So is it a big deal? Yeah, it is. To earn Elite Dealer accreditation, a SunPower dealer must achieve a 90% or greater customer satisfaction score on past installations and successfully complete two advanced certification courses in topics like the installation and design of a high-efficiency SunPower system. And Powerhouse Solar has done that and gone well above it. Powerhouse Solar selected for their commitment to providing customers with outstanding service and delivering the most effective and reliable solar technology that is available. Powerhouse handles every step of the solar process, including system design, installation, and maintenance, as well as financing, permitting, and rebate processing. There's a bunch of it. They know it. They're experts. Call today, 275-5600. That's 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
I want to rock! Get ready to rock the Cascade Theater, June 15th to the 24th, with the Tony Award-nominated Broadway musical Rock of Ages. Relive the 80s with the music of Styx, Journey, Pat Benatar, Twisted Sister, and more. Get your tickets to Rock of Ages and the VIP after party at the Cascade Box Office, 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Time for a wardrobe update? Check in with the ladies of Dandelion. They can help you with all of your fashion needs, from designer jewelry to the latest jeans. They have you covered head to toe. Stop in for a personal touch with fabulous stylists who greet you at the door. Dandelion Boutique in the heart of downtown Reading, 1322 Pine Street, or give them a call, 247-1292. That's Dandelion, unique gifts and clothing.
All right, now, a friend of mine named Jay is going to be landing jets on aircraft carriers in the Navy there, and he's going to have a nuclear bomb between his legs, and he's going to paint my face on that nuclear bomb, and on the side it's going to say, Mojo says hi. So I wrote this song about it called, Gonna Put My Face on a Nuclear Bomb. It goes like this. Well, gonna put my face on a nuclear bomb. All them commies better get up and run.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We are talking about prepping 101, basically getting yourself ready for the collapse of society. And so, you know, when we think about the collapse of society, we think about a lot of different things. You guys are probably all thinking about different things out there. So we're going to cover what some of those things are. I think the most obvious one that most people would think of would be war, sure, would be the nuclear collapse war. You know, nuclear war. You know, are you guys familiar with the doomsday clock?
Yes.
Yeah. And supposedly we're closer now than we ever have been.
That's right. I think we're 1 or 2 minutes from midnight.
Yeah.
I thought we were 3. I might be behind the times there on the
doomsday clock. Well, since Trump went into office, it went to 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not a joke. That's actually the case.
Well, it's not a joke, but I mean, it is a subjective clock, you know, so people's opinions
well, yeah,
are
I mean,
what
that,
go
that's
into
true.
It.
But, just, wow, okay.
And you know, for those of you out there, half of you, it seems, from what I see on the news, half of you are pro-Trump and half of you are anti-Trump. There are other possible reasons why this happened at the same time, and that's also third world nations
terrorist nations. You know, I say third world nations because of their lack of government stability.
Risk of political coup.
Right, right. Getting their hands on these kinds of weapons. And so I don't know if we can give it or take it away from Trump. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that here's my Trump question. I have a Trump question. I posted before. Right. Let's go for it. For all the people that think that there is a new world order that's trying to control the masses, what makes them think that Trump is not part of this?
I would actually assume that he is.
I would too. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, it doesn't get any clearer than that. We've seen it before. I mean, if you look at the election of Barack Obama, what you saw with the Trump campaign was almost exactly the same. Only it sounded different. The words were different, but the feeling was the same. The flavor was the same. Now, this is not to say that Trump isn't doing some good things, and I voted for the man. I did. But I also see, as is typical, that, you know, once a person gets elected and gets in office, they start doing things maybe a little different than what they said they could do. I'm not even saying that it's all his fault.
I've always defended that, people doing something different than they said they were going to do, because I knew once they got into office, you know, they found out something that they just didn't know.
Or they were told what they were going to do or what they weren't going to be able
to do. Well, let's even say in a perfect world, they're not being told and they're not a puppet, but they get in there and they find out this classified information. So all the stuff that they said that they were going to do, they go, whoa, well, we can't do that.
Yeah, we can't do that because X, Y, and Z. Well, right. The thing is you have this since Trump has gotten in, you've seen the idea of the deep state becoming almost household language anymore. And the deep state really is another name for the shadow government, the continuity government plans, the sinister dark side, Illuminati, New World Order type of faction that supposedly has the stranglehold of the world. Yeah, I know all of the ideas and thought lines around that, and I'll tell you, there is some compelling things to it.
Do you find that you think that the doomsday clock is accurate with us being closer now than ever in the past?
As a matter of fact, I do, and the reason why I do is because I think at this point in history – they are beginning to get desperate as to how they're going to manage all of us useless eaters.
Yeah.
And with the advent of robotics and artificial intelligence and the computing power that exists now is far beyond, I think, what any of us really understand of quantum computing and things like this, human labor is quickly going to be replaced.
Yeah, so I can understand the concept of a war being a culling of the, but I can't, with some sort of shadow government, I can't imagine that they would fall back on nuclear war because they have to exist here as well.
No, nuclear war is actually one of their least favorable options, obviously, because things are left very contaminated.
Right, but I think the threat of nuclear war definitely keeps
that
people
works.
In line.
Yeah. Yeah. That does work. And if you've ever read something called the Report from Iron Mountain that came out, it was a declassified report from the 1960s where basically the world was based on a war-based economy. The economy and the social order of the world is based on warfare to a large extent. And they realized back then, these think tanks, I think it came out of the RAND Corporation, that at some point we're going to have to get off of this. Otherwise, somebody's going to make a mistake and we're all hosed. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. So they started thinking about, well, what are we going to do to replace a war-based economy? What can we do to create a threat so convincing and massive that the world, the entire world, would buy it and wrap their head around it? And you know what the number one thing was? An environmental hazard. An environmental change, hence global warming.
Well, there's, you know, war is the first one that hops to most people's mind. I would say that a planetary natural disaster such as either global warming, super volcano, astral impact would be the second one that comes.
The next one would be disclosure.
Like
E.T. disclosure.
Do you really think that that's – I mean, as long as the – I do believe that within my lifetime we are going to find out that there is life beyond Earth. And I'm not saying that there's going to be, you know, people out there, you know, wearing pants wanting to talk to us, but I'm saying that we're going to find mold, microbial life, I think, within my lifetime.
Well,
this is going to be public knowledge.
I got one for you. Do you realize that the Vatican policy right now is preparing for a radical paradigm shift of theology based on the fact that extraterrestrials will manifest themselves as God?
Oh, well, that's always been... you know, I guess we started this out with my love of science fiction, and that has always been a theme of science fiction, is that technological advancement portrays itself to magic, that to those who don't understand.
Yeah, and here's
and
a really
if we deal with aliens that come to us, they're not going to be burning fossil fuels to get here in their interstellar jalopies. They're going to show up in something that is beyond our comprehension.
Correct. Right. Absolutely. If we don't already understand what some of that stuff is, that is residue from previous existences.
But do you feel that this would lead to a decline in civilization?
I think that what they think is that before they can roll some of this stuff out.
You're referring to the Brookings report, I bet.
Possibly.
Are you familiar with this? So this was a report that was written back in the 60s where NASA was advised to keep anything that they found secret because as soon as humans found out that they potentially were not at the top of the food chain, they would either become laissez-faire about life or they would become incredibly fearful.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually very close to the report from Iron Mountain. It's along the same themes. And the fact that, you know, you have a black secret space program that exists parallel to NASA, the civilian space program. You know, the space shuttle was retired. They never announced a replacement. Are you serious? I mean, come on. We're back to rockets.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't. I am a firm believer that the military is a good 30 years ahead of privatization. And there's one area where I do not think the military is ahead, and frankly, I think it bothers them very much, and that's in the realm of data. I think that they are constantly poking at Facebook, Google, and Twitter because I don't think that they have the data processing abilities that this private industry has, and so I think they're constantly trying to weasel their way in there.
And that could very well be, yeah.
But I think on a transportation and military level, they are 30 years
at
beyond
least.
Us.
At least. Yeah. Anyway, so you got that. You got the idea of that. And so, you know, the threats that exist out there really run the gamut. We can go from the very basics that wouldn't it be prudent to lay back some extra groceries, maybe a few bucks, maybe a few cases of toilet paper and paper towels in case you lose your job?
Absolutely.
Sure. You know, wouldn't that make that time a little easier, you know?
I keep telling my wife this.
You know, I mean, there are – those are reasonable things. I think we'd all agree they're reasonable. Mm-hmm. You know, we could go up from that to, say, a wildfire and your neighborhood is evacuated. You know, you don't have a lot of time. A flood situation would be very similar. And we just saw that occur in the Marysville area. Over at Oroville Dam, there are 200,000 people evacuated from that area. And so these things can and do happen. You know, going up the severity level a little bit, you know, we could have a toxic materials spill, kind of like what happened on Cantera Loop with the metan sodium spill on the Upper Sacramento River, what, 20 years ago?
No, I wasn't familiar with that one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure the listeners will remember that. But it could be anything of that sort that renders an area a hazard.
Right.
Those are more localized events that can be handled. I mean, tornadoes. The Midwest is in hurricane season. Everybody understands these things out there. Mm-hmm. Out here, probably the biggest thing we understand is wildfire. And certainly, you know, we recognize it. A lot of us are very afraid and paranoid of it, as we should be, and take prudent, reasonable steps to prevent those things from happening.
Well, let me cut you off here for 1 second, Steve. We got to pay the bills. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Memorial Day. How do we celebrate it? By remembering our fallen military men and women. My father's headstone reads Veteran, World War II. Because the cemetery is far away, it had been several years since I visited. It is a peaceful place with a lot of trees. Suddenly, I was interrupted by laughter. I turned around to see a young woman laying out a blanket and putting out a picnic lunch. Her two little girls were chasing each other and giggling loudly. I immediately felt anger. This was not a place for play. Then the young woman sat on the blanket in front of the grave, and I heard her say, "Hello, honey. We thought we would spend the day with you. I just wanted you to know the girls and I are doing fine, and we miss you very much." My heart immediately broke. I turned around to give them their moment of privacy while fighting back tears. We must remember our veterans, and their families too. Coach Master, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Summer's On Us sales event is back at Redding Kia, and it's amazing.
Let's go summer!
Get 0% financing for 66 months and make no payments for 5 months. Plus, Kia Motors will make your first two payments for you.
You could use all of that money you're saving to have a great summer vacation.
This offer good on all new 2017 Kia Sorentos, Optimas, Souls, and Fortes.
If you're in the market for a new car anytime within the next 5 months, don't let this great deal pass you by. The Summer's On Us sales event is back at Redding Kia,
where every vehicle sold comes with free lifetime oil changes and tire rotations.
Come visit Redding Kia's brand new dealership and see for yourself on approval to credit plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, any electronic filing charge, and any emission testing fee. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for Summer's On Us offer. 0% for 66 months is $15.15 per 1,000 finance. Sale ends July 10th.
We both own Kias and we love them. Redding Kia, Facebook, YouTube,
RedingKia.com.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. So, you know, I think we figured out that there is a lot of ways that we might end up in with the stank end of the stick in this situation. But, you know, I don't even know what to do about some of them. But, you know, let's try to cover some of the basic things that, a guy like me could do to prepare myself and my family and for something like this. Are there basic steps that we could do? Let's say that you were able to tell everybody in the world one thing. What would that first thing be that you told them to do?
Food. Food.
To stockpile some food.
Yes, absolutely. Water is procurable generally, especially if you have water filtration and you've done your homework and you understand how water is contaminated and what kind of contaminations it'd be subjected to and how to mitigate that. Your waterborne organisms and particulate matters, particularly in a radiological environment after, say, a nuclear weapon detonation, that produces fallout. You know, you'd want to get rid of those particulate matter pieces of fallout. The water itself doesn't become irradiated; it's just what's in it. So you want to so you can procure water, you can filter water, but you should be able to store water. And when I say store water, I'm talking on the order of at least, you know, 50 gallons or more. I mean, I think conventional logic instruction says 8 gallons of water per person per day, and that covers hygiene, that covers drinking, that covers things of washing dishes, clothes, things like that. That's probably conservative. But food.
8 gallons.
Eight gallons a day.
How is your average Joe supposed to collect enough water to survive even a week?
Well, it's, you know, surviving the apocalypse is very labor intensive. Mm-hmm. Unless you have a lot of money to throw at the problem and you have a little time to engineer the solution for yourself, you know, it's going to be the American ingenuity that's going to get most of us by. Most of us don't have all the money in the world to throw down on 2-3 years of freeze-dried food, to throw down on I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, the weapons and ammo alone, people will spend a fortune. Really, honestly, folks, that's the least thing that you need to spend your money on. I'm not saying that you can't, that you don't need them, because you do. But there's going to be so many pieces of weapons and ammo laying around out there that, honestly, it'll be a big battlefield PX.
And plus, you know, if you don't have any food to survive, you got nothing to defend and you'll be dead. Anyways.
Right. Because food, the procurement of food is tenuous in any major situation. And depending on the situation, you may not be able to grow food for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're dealing with contamination levels, anything outside like game, for example. Oh, I'm going to go out in the mountains and fish and hunt deer. Man, that might not work out so well for you, especially if everyone else has the same idea. You know, so, yeah, food, number one. Number two, make sure that you have a plan. You understand your place in this area, wherever it is you live, what your lifestyle demands as mission critical. What do you have to have to survive? And I mean realistically. You know, the internet is not required for survival.
No.
Okay.
Although I think my daughter might argue.
Well, and there will be many.
Jared apparently does not agree with you.
Yeah, and the syndromes and the syndromes of behavioral disorders that will come out of a grid down just on that issue alone is going to be pretty interesting to watch. But real short run down the list: food, water, appropriate shelter for your area, for your climate, personal protection and training to go along with it. That could be firearms. That could be knives. That could be a club. But get training for it, folks. Don't think that you can just go and buy the latest AR-15 and 1,000 rounds of ammo and you can hold off a much stronger force. You're fooling yourself. Get some training.
Yeah, I saw something about with the amount of bullets flying in like inner city gang wars that there wasn't nearly as many people killed considering the amount of bullets that you would think, because they don't have practice. There's no practice.
They're not marksmen.
Right. You just, when you shoot, you're in the war and there is no practice in between, and therefore your shooting skills are shot.
Well, even most militaries during, you know, infantry fire and maneuver tactics, which is very common anymore, you expend a lot of ammo. Mm-hmm. I mean, the best way to survive a gunfight is to have fire superiority, mm-hmm. period. The person that's firing more faster usually wins.
Well, I think about, you know, my stepfather is from Switzerland. And you think about Switzerland as being neutral. You know, and therefore not very combative.
They have a lot of guns over there.
Well, they have a lot of weapons and heavy weapons.
And that's what I'm bringing up is he served 2 years in the military, as does every male in the country.
Compulsory, right?
Yeah. And so it seems like they would be better prepared.
Well, absolutely. And I would take that a step further. Actually, the Swiss system is very good and very closely models what the American militia was supposed to be about, mm-hmm. which is something that is coming back across the country and for good reason. In fact, that was one of the things I was going to mention is that everybody's got to sleep sometime. There is a lot of work that is involved. There is a lot of planning. There's a lot of boring stuff like standing watch. Simple things like that. While somebody's gathering water or tending to the garden, somebody's pulling security. Mm-hmm. And in so there's a lot of work, there's a lot of duty that goes on, and you have to sleep sometimes. So the idea that, you know, this the two or three of us is going to, you know, we're going to be the lone wolf holdouts and we're going to, you know, hunker in and stuff and we're going to be fine.
Oh, no, totally.
No, it doesn't work that way either. So the best way is to have that personal level of provision for yourself and to finish my list, personal protection, communications, like a ham radio license, for example. Even just the ability to listen on, say, a shortwave receiver would be very highly recommended because one of the first things to go in a major crisis is information and or the truth, and maybe not necessarily in that order. And, of course, medical. If you don't have medical training, medical supply, you're not going to have medical services as you're used to having them now.
Yeah, I've thought about this. And I don't know if you know the answer to this, so I don't mean to put you on the spot. But I've wondered, as I was prepping for this show, if there was a shelf life. Isn't there a shelf life for antibiotics?
Some, yes. Tetracycline being one of them.
Oh, uh-huh. But so that would be difficult to...
Yes, it can be. Absolutely. And the thing is once a major crisis happens, what exists at that time is all that may ever exist.
Right.
If you have something like a grid down and it's persistent, and I mean, imagine for a second you collapse the national power grid. It's not something you just restart. It's actually a lot more technical and complicated than anyone would care to realize.
Yeah, I've read that we were looking at probably 3 months if we were hit by an EMP.
Longer than that.
That was a best case scenario.
I could say that as a best case. But most conventional average estimations, depending on the level of damage, would be 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, God.
And that's the waiting time for the major transformers that they would need to step down from, say, over 100,000 volts that go across interstate transmission lines.
Right.
Those substations are absolutely critical to the power grid. And if you have ground-induced current from either an EMP or a coronal mass ejection, I mean, it takes that stuff out. You know, Congress could have passed the bill to harden all of that stuff, but, you know, and actually it would have cost less than probably a few F-35 Joint Strike Fighters or F-22s, but for some reason they just don't seem to be interested in that.
Yeah, well, I like to think that they're sitting there trying to figure out a better infrastructure for us because, I mean, we're relying on infrastructure that is, you know, a lot of these developing Asian countries have jumped past us when it comes to networks and infrastructure, when it comes to communications, because we're so heavily ingrained in these old infrastructures.
Right. And they're so new as far as their tech level when that capital investment happened, mm-hmm. that they got the benefit from the newer specification, whereas we would have to spend a massive amount of money to replace what we already have.
To not only replace it, but to move systems and so on and so forth. All right. Well, I'll throw this out there before we come up on break. And my wife and I, we're not very good at saving for retirement. And so I keep telling her what we need to do is become recreational preppers. We need to buy a chunk of land off the beaten path a little bit. And we need to just start prepping at it while going about our lives and working and so on and so forth. And then when retirement comes, we can just go there and live. And that if the end of the world comes, well, then we can go there too. And so I think my plan is to doomsday prep as a retirement plan. You are listening to Radio's Wasteland. Here's a commercial. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Your story begins here. Start yours today. Wind River Resort and Casino can make your dreams a reality. From our experienced staff, full setup and cleanup, on-site catering, full-service spa, luxurious hotel, and certified wedding and event planner. Come see what we have to offer. We guarantee you'll be amazed. Our group sales team can set up any room arrangement needed to suit your conference or meeting needs. Book your event today. Call 530-339-7454 or visit windriver.com. It's better at the river.
Do you like to perform and show off your skills and vocals and sing your best? Then head down to Wind River Resort and Casino for karaoke rewards at Overtime Lounge. No cover charge. The action starts every Thursday at 9 p.m. with more ways to earn entries to win a package including a one-night hotel stay, dining certificate, free slot play, and cash. Drawing at the end of the month. Ask how to earn additional tickets. Karaoke rewards Thursdays at Wind River Resort and Casino. For rules and details, log on to windriver.com. Karaoke is better at the river.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
There's an older animal at Haven Humane who lost his loving home just waiting for you to come rescue him. PALS Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. And right now, Blindsided is making a donation to this fund with every window covering order. Donations to this fund continue to provide homes for these older pets and honor the memory of this amazing deaf Dalmatian that provided me love and companionship until his passing over 10 years ago.
For window coverings, contact Blindsided today at 945-3969.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
The snakes that can crawl, and the cheetahs that can fall, and the ghosts can't wait for the hereafter.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We are talking about prepping for the doomsday. I know it's prepping for all sorts of things, but man, nothing is as catchy as prepping for doomsday.
It's very true.
You know, this might be my movie aficionado love of the term doomsday, but I don't know. Do you find our use of the word doomsday accurate or a little inaccurate?
Oh, I think it's very fun. I'm going to be my own character.
Right.
I'm going to star as myself.
Yeah, yeah. Good, good, good. So, how prepared do we need to be?
Well, I guess that all depends on what the individual thinks and what kind of budget they have and how ingenious they are.
Should you look at it like tithing, you know, 10% of whatever you make?
That is a reasonable way. I mean, there are a number of people that jump into this thing, and it's like they've lit their hair on fire, and they're running around the living room panicking. And they've all of a sudden gotten scared about something, and next thing you know, they're dumping their bank accounts and cashing everything in, and, I mean, they're going for it. Those types of people tend to burn out after a while because nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been at this since 2008, so I'm going on over 10 years of this. And I've seen things and threats and ideas and theories and come and go. Doesn't mean that we're safe. By no means. We're not necessarily safe.
Okay. Right.
It just doesn't mean that the big one, if you will, has happened. But again, we can think of a lot of very sober reasons why a level of preparedness is prudent.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. You know, but you have to understand that in the worst case, you have to be prepared to provide everything for yourself. Or in the alternate, and I highly advocate that you meet your neighbors.
It looks like we got a call in with a question. Let's see what they have to say. Who do we got here?
Maurice.
Hi, how's it going? What's your question?
I just wanted to know if it's possible, like, if I don't want to actually live right now during these times of Trump.
Can you hit me again with that one right now?
In these times of Trump, if I don't want to actually doomsday prep.
If you don't want to doomsday prep in the times of Trump?
Correct.
And why is that? Because you think you're safe or you think you're extra not safe?
I think I'm extra not safe.
Oh. You feel that it would be pointless?
Correct.
I guess my advice to you would be to get out there and live life to the fullest.
Just continue living for your life.
But, you know, the world has a way of ending. What are we, like 2 years out from having a new president for you to be scared of? So I don't think you need to worry too much about that.
It hasn't even been a year yet.
It hasn't? No, it's been like 18 months, hasn't it?
Right, that's what you'd be inclined to think.
No, 18 days. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's been like a couple months.
But, I think the answer is that, prep for the long haul. There's been a lot of shady folks, and I know there will always be a lot more. So
yeah, the prepping, the decision to prep is really not a politically derived choice. If you leave politics out of it, which I recommend that you do, because I mean, most of us can make sensible arguments both for any political system or structure that has had their share of democide in the 20th century. So really, I don't look at it as a political issue. I look at it as a long-term survival issue, mm-hmm. regardless of that. It doesn't even have to be the president of the United States that does anything. It could be someone else, or it could be the sky's the limit, guys.
I think a great answer to the caller is that, or to anybody with this question, that if you feel that Trump came along and made you safe, well, the next election, you better be ready. And if you think Trump came along and made you not safe, well, then at the next election, you better be ready. So you might as well,
might as well be ready.
Right. You know, it's like it's like trying to judge the year's weather off of a little rain in Hawaii. It rains like five times a day in Hawaii. You don't know. You know,
yeah.
It's like it's too small of a scale to.
Yeah, in the microcosm of it all, things look very, very different than the larger macro scale. But
right, Trump or Obama is not going to save you from a super volcano.
No.
This is not something I realize the name "super" before it makes it sound ridiculous. But I mean, this really is a thing.
Yeah,
and I would also say that this is more. I wouldn't say though it can be a lifestyle, and certainly there are those that are doing that. For most people, I don't see this as being a lifestyle choice. However, I think it does need to be something as part of your regular life that you look at, say, maybe a couple of times a month or
just
something.
Just like having insurance.
It is very much like insurance, only there's no cash value at the end, although there could be. I mean, after Y2K, a lot of people sold off their preps, and there was a lot of deals out there to be had. But the thing is there's so many facets to this. Like I said, you have to be prepared to provide for yourself in almost all aspects.
Right, and be realistic. Don't buy $600,000 worth of protein powder. If you buy some food you're actually going to eat, well, then it's a worthwhile investment.
Yeah, you make sensible choices. So, you definitely buy foods that you normally do eat. You want to buy dry goods preferably. There are ways to inexpensively save them for up to 25 years in 5 gallon buckets. Canned goods are also very good, although they tend to be heavy. And, the bug in versus bug out situation, that's important. Weight does matter, size and weight constraints. You want to be sure that you're staying aware of current events and that, you don't have to be wacky about it, but, you pay attention to what's going on around you, because probably the biggest thing that's going to gauge your success is how fast you reacted over the masses. If you are able to take the pulse of a situation and take its temperature and decide, you know what, I don't like where this could go, and if this red line is met, honey, we're gonna go to the vacation cabin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like that.
A lot of this feels very much like a run faster than the other guy type of situation.
Well, yeah, you know,
there's not going to be enough food for everyone.
You don't have to run faster than the bear, just you have to not be the slowest
exactly.
person.
That's what I was meaning.
Well, this show's coming up on the end here, and I got to tell you, Steve, it ended up being a much larger topic than I thought we were going to have. I hope to have you back in the future at some point.
I'd be glad to.
And you've been listening to Radio Wasteland Prepping 101 with Solar Steve. Check us out next week.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful, give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows, that's how it goes. Everybody knows. And everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you. And everybody knows that you live forever. Oh, when you've done a line or two. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows that the plague is coming. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows that the naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead.
Community Talk Radio for the North State is KCNR Shasta Redding, where the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
I'm Keith Peters. President Trump expresses the nation's boundless and undying gratitude to Americans who have fallen in battle.
In his first Memorial Day remarks as president, President Trump tells a crowd at Arlington National Cemetery that the people have to uphold a promise to those who died in the nation's wars and their families.
We only hope
that every day we can prove worthy, not only of their sacrifice and service, but of the sacrifice made by the families and loved ones they left behind.
Trump also honored the military members who were involved in the fight against terrorists.